Well, good morning. Whether you are listening online to our podcast or checking us out online or here in person, we just want you to know how incredibly excited we are that you have chosen to join us as we dive into part two of this series that we are calling What's Next. And we never want to forget about all of y'all online or checking out our podcast. Every single week, we have people that listen from Worcester, Ohio, from as far as New Jersey, South Carolina, Florida. And so we are so incredibly excited that we as the church extend far outside of these walls. And over the next 4 weeks, as we dive and digest this series, we are acknowledging this tension that every single one of us face in our lives. That as we look back over the past year, or maybe for some of us, the past couple of years, or maybe even the past decade of our lives, what we see in our past is not a picture that we like. You see, for some of us, we look back at our lives, we look back at our marriages, we look back at our parenting, we look back at our finances, maybe it's our physical health or our mental health, and the picture that's painted is not a pretty one. You see, 2020 for some of us may have been a good year, it may have been an average year for some of us, for others of us, it might have just been a downright ugly year. But no matter what your 2020 looked like, the truth that we are all faced with is this. Is no matter where we stand, standing pat isn't the best option. Remaining where we presently find ourselves isn't the best path forward. But what we're also faced with in light of that reality is this, is that this isn't the first January in which we have been faced with that reality. This isn't the first moment of our lives in which we have looked back at our past and determined that we don't like the picture that's been painted over the course of the last year, and we want to change. But yet time and time again in our lives, January after January, crossroads moment after crossroads moment, we don't know what it looks like to change our future. We don't know what it looks like to take steps forward in a different direction. And as we encounter those moments in which the downward spiral is happening, or we just straight up feel caught in monotony and we don't know what to do about it, the longer we find ourselves in a place in which we don't know how to change things, the more likely we are to get to a point in which we are just ready to give up. In which we think the best option is to just throw in the towel or to just reserve ourselves to believing that our life is just about getting through or getting by. And yet when we live our lives according to that and we've just given up or we're just trying to make it through another day, another year, there always comes a moment in which we are forced to ask these important questions. Is this really all there is? Is this really as good as it gets? Are we just reserved to our 2021 being like our 2020, being like our 2019, being like our 2018, being like our 2017? Or is better possible? Is something greater possible on the horizon of our lives? And as we wrestle with those questions, the truth that we come back to every single week is this. Is that no matter who you are or what stage of life you find yourself in, every single one of us are somewhere. We are somewhere in our marriages, we are somewhere in our parenting, we are somewhere in our finances, we're somewhere in our physical health, we are somewhere in our mental health. And from the place in which we are at, there is a step forward that is possible, but it's better than that. There is a step forward that is worth it. A step forward that has the potential to change your life and those facets of your life that aren't how you want them to be from this day forward. But the way in which we begin to step into our future, the future that God designed us to live in our marriages and in our parenting and in our health and in our finances, is when we come back to this one monumental truth. This monumental truth that we have said we will come back to every week of this series. It's the foundation, the theme of this series, and we find it from the words of a man named Solomon. King Solomon, if you know nothing about him, was one of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth. And King Solomon, as he looks back on his life and the successes and the failures of his life and where he goes from here and asks the question, what's next? He realizes that there is this important truth that if we are going to move forward in a healthy way, we must recognize this truth. It's a truth we find in the book of Proverbs 29. If you haven't done so already, it's a perfect opportunity for you to grab your weekly. It's what you got when you came in this morning. And if you crack that open, what you'll find on the inside of that weekly is a notes page that we've designed specifically for you to help you follow along as we move through the text. You can even grab a pen from the seat back in front of you and fill in some blanks, some truths that you can hang on to as you struggle through this question and answering the question of what's next in the days and the weeks to come. But this is the truth that King Solomon circles back to, and he speaks into your life and my life as we sit here at the outset of 2021, in which we want the next 12 months to be better than the last 12 months. This is what King Solomon says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no, the Hebrew word here, that's the original text of this passage, the Hebrew word is kazon. And it literally translates into a passionate pursuit of the future. Where there is no passionate pursuit of the future, things die. Where there is no passionate pursuit of the future of your marriage slowly dies. Where there is no passionate pursuit of a healthy relationship with your kids in the future, your relationship with your kids slowly dies. Where there is no passionate pursuit of a future of your finances slowly die. When there is no passionate pursuit of the future of your mental health or your physical health, your health slowly dies. It's like Solomon, this was the best analogy that I could give. It was like Solomon was saying, hey, y'all, you realize when you hop into your car, if you attempt to drive your car by looking in the rearview mirror, a wreck is imminent, right? That in your life, if you are constantly driving by looking behind you, you will always wreck into something ahead of you. And what I know about you, and I know this about myself as well, is this, is none of us desire to wreck our lives, right? It's not like we stood there across the altar from that person that we loved and we were like, man, I can't wait to wreck this marriage. It's not like we got our first big boy paycheck and we're like, man, I can't wait to be so far in debt that I've wrecked my finances for the rest of my life. It's not like we brought that cute little baby swaddled in their onesie home from the hospital and you were like, man, I cannot wait to screw this up. None of us desire to do that, right, with our lives and the facets of our life. And yet what we can't deny is this, is that time and time again, we find ourselves slowly drifting into a wreck. We find ourselves slowly drifting into places and those facets of our life that cause us to look back and realize it's not a pretty picture. It's not the 2020 that we wanted it to be. It's not the last 5 years of our marriage that we wanted it to be. It's not the first 10 years of my kids' life that I wanted it to be. And the reality is deep down, every single one of us, we want something better, right? We hear things like Christ came with a purpose to give us a rich and satisfying life. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm like, I could use a little bit more of that rich and satisfying life that Christ came to give me. Because my 2020 didn't always look like it was so rich and so satisfying. I want the future. I want what comes next to be better than what came before. And I believe with all of my heart that you and I have the most fun in our lives when we refuse to stay where we're at. Did you catch that? I believe that you and I have the most fun in our lives when we refuse to stay where we're at. That we find a life that is rich and satisfying and fun and content-filled when we choose to move forward. When we choose to pursue what God designed us for. And so we set out on this series to do just that. And what we found was this, is that there were four distinct areas that if we can regain control and refocus in those four areas of our lives, when we ask this question and answer this question, it leads us in a much healthier direction. That in 2021 and beyond, we start to live out the rich and satisfying life that God came to give us when we reposition ourselves in these four different areas. And so last week, we kicked off this series by talking about this reality that when we look back on our past, There are moments of our past in which we feel like something is missing. And the reason in which something is missing is because at different moments in our past, we have been led to believe that my life was meant to be lived for me. And what we revealed last week was that's not why we exist. That we were created with a mission to make a difference. And what's so incredible is this, is that in the moments of our lives in which it is clear that we are making a difference, we have impacted somebody else's life. We have done something incredible for our city or for our world. In those moments, isn't there something that stirs inside your soul? Isn't there something inside of you that lights on fire when you feel and see the impact that you are making on the world around you? And what would it look like for us to buy into and begin living a life in which we are capable of consistently making a difference in our world and beyond our world and even in the whole world? And then next week, we continue this series by talking about what it looks like to find freedom in our lives. Because far too many of us feel defined by our past, don't we? And for many of us, we feel stuck in our past, typically by shame and guilt, that keep us from moving forward into a better future, that keep us from moving forward in our marriages or in our parenting or in our finances. And ultimately, what happens is the longer we stay chained to our past, the longer it takes us to move forward into God's desired future for our lives. That we have been called to unhook and to begin to walk forward into something better. But to do that, we must experience a freedom that Christ came to give us. And in a couple weeks, we're wrapping up this series by talking about this concept, this really foundational layer that we're going to hit last, that everything else in this series sort of hinges on. This reality that in order for anything else in our lives to work and move forward, it requires us to know God. And we're not going to be talking about knowing God. We're going to be talking about knowing God. About what it looks like to experience relationship with a God who created us and knows us best and yet still loves us most. And that when we can know a God who desires for our lives to be rich and satisfying, when we can know him personally, it unlocks doors to our lives that we have never walked through before. Incredible doors that we want and need to walk through in our lives. But today, we continue our series by talking about our ability to discover our purpose. Do you realize that studies show, of the four things that we are going to talk about, there are actually studies and statistics that show the vast majority of humanity living in our world right now struggle greatly with two of these things. The first, finding freedom. The second, discovering their purpose. In fact, statistics show that 87% of humanity right now, 87% of people do not know their purpose. Isn't that insane? That when you look around this room right now, 9 out of 10 of us in this room do not know why we were born yet. And I strategically say the word yet, because what I want us to understand this morning is this, is it is not too late. You aren't too late to the party. That God has a purpose for your life, something that he wants you to discover and walk into. And no matter what stage of life you find yourself in, 2021 is the year for you to do that. It's the year for you to unlock a door to something incredible in your life. But for those of us who find ourselves in the 87%, there is good reason why we haven't discovered our purpose yet. And that good reason is that because every day of our lives, we find ourselves bumping into one of three, or sometimes all three, roadblocks that are the enemies of our purpose. Things that stack up in front of us and keep us from seeing God's design for our lives and our future. The first is this. For many of us, the roadblock that we hit in our pursuit of discovering our purpose is simply confusion. You see, there's no year like 2020 to unveil that life can oftentimes be filled with moments in which you don't know what is right. There are moments where you look back on decisions and you're not sure if there is even a right decision to be made. Like 2020 in my life at least was filled with those moments. Of like, I don't know which way to go and I don't know what decision to make for myself and my family and our health and how we walk forward and everybody else's health. I don't know that there is a right. No matter what decision I make, somebody's going to say that I was wrong in that decision. And time again, we find ourselves in this place that in the tough moments of our lives, the crossroads moments, that we're just confused about what is right and which way is our purpose. Just a few weeks ago, I was confronted with another one of those moments where we had to make a decision about what it looks like around here. Do we continue in person? Do we go back online? And what does that look like? And as we made a decision as a leadership team, there was communication that needed to happen with so many of y'all of what we were deciding and how we were going forward and what that looked like. And I can still remember that day vividly, that as we were getting ready to send that communication out, like my finger got the quiver. It's like, I don't want to press send on this. And I can remember sitting on my bed with my wife in the struggle moment before I went back to my computer to press send. I walked away, looking at my wife and saying, honey, I don't know what's right. Like, I'm broken and I'm imperfect. And because of that, as a human being, I don't know if God's doing this to lead us in this direction or if he's doing this to lead us in this direction. And I know some of y'all are like, man, pastoring, that's got to be easy. You just show up every Sunday morning and you say whatever's on your mind and that's all of your job. And what you don't understand is that in my life, every single day, every single week, I carry the weight and the burden of your lives and your souls and your eternities on my shoulder. Right or wrong, that's just the reality of the position that I am in. And there's this toughness and every decision that's made of trying to figure out, man, what is God trying to say and what's he trying to do and what direction does he want us to go? And both ways feel wrong or both ways feel right. And oftentimes in our own personal pursuits of our purpose, don't we run into that same roadblock? Like, I'm not exactly sure. The voice that I'm hearing in my mind sounds kind of muffled. And I don't know if he wants me to go left or if he wants me to go right. And sometimes we're so confused that we don't know which way's forward and which way's backwards for progress in our lives. And so we struggle with confusion when it comes to discovering our purpose. Secondly, we struggle with comparison. And this one's going to get tough, because this is a struggle for every single one of us that has been elevated in every single one of our lives, most likely due to one thing. Social media. That every day of our lives, we are but one click and one scroll away from falling right back into the comparison trap in our lives. And in that comparison trap of social media that we engage in every single day, our minds have difficulty. They have difficulty in separating this reality that as we scroll through everybody else's stories and as we scroll through our news feed, we fail to recognize that what we are comparing our lives to is not their life. We are comparing our lives to their highlight reel. And that's a filter they've got on their picture, y'all. That family picture in the wilderness, it took them the same hour and 45 minutes that it took your family. And their kids were hanging off the trees as well and had their shirts untucked and mud on their boots. And yet time and time again, we fall back into this comparison trap. For some of us, we've been doing it for years and we compare ourselves to our spouse's parents and we're supposed to be like them. And we begin to believe that every time my husband sits down, he's comparing my cooking to his mom's cooking. Guess what? Your husband didn't marry you to be his mom. He married you because you are an incredible woman and he wants you just to be his incredible wife. But every single day, we find ourselves slowly slipping back into this comparison trap. And what we often fail to recognize is that we will always be miserable if we are comparing our purpose to somebody else's calling. Hello. You and I will always be miserable in our lives if we continue to compare our purpose to somebody else's calling. If we continue to chase somebody else's portion in this life when we have our own to pursue. See, a desire for somebody else's best will always keep you from your best. Did you catch that? A desire for somebody else's best will always keep you from experiencing your best. We have to let go of comparison to discover our purpose. And then lastly, the roadblock that keeps us from discovering our purpose is oftentimes a counterfeit purpose. It's this reality that sneaks up in all of us, this tendency to listen to the voices and the world around us, telling us what we should be pursuing, telling us what's best for our life, telling us how true success is measured and defined in this world. And until you reach that and until you chase that, you won't have the best life on this earth. And then we step back years later and we wonder why we're just as unhappy as everybody else in this world. Because we're pursuing a purpose that we weren't created to pursue. And we've done this in our jobs, y'all, right? Like, there's been moments where we've been led to believe that if I just get this high on the corporate ladder, or if my paycheck just has this many zeros in it, then I will finally be happy. And then years later, we step back and we recognize maybe my life wasn't meant to be chasing a career. Maybe my life was meant to be chasing a calling, something only I can do, something only I was created for. You see, this morning, what I want every single one of us to hear loud and clear is this, is that you individually were made like you to make a difference only you can make. Do you realize that? Nobody can change the world like you can change the world. That means your purpose is different than everybody else's purpose. The person sitting next to you, the person you're constantly looking at on your social media feed, you were knit together in such a way to do something in this world that nobody else could do. And what I love is the psalmist puts it so plainly in this passage that I didn't want us to miss, this truth that we must grasp onto and begin to believe if we're going to move forward in our own purpose and not somebody else's. Check this out in Psalm 139. Starting in verse 13, he writes this. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. And then he connects the two. Like, I was unique and you put me together in this special way. And this is how it transfers into our everyday lives. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. See, that passage is the very reason why comparison just won't work in your 2021 and my 2021. Because comparing your life to theirs is just downright irrelevant. You aren't them. You weren't created like them. You don't have the gifts they have, and vice versa. They don't have the gifts you have. You can do things they can't do, and they can do things you can't do. What's in you is totally different from what's in anybody else. And until you grab onto that, we will continue to completely miss our destiny in this life. See, when you were formed in your mother's womb, you were meant to see and discover this, that God's design in me reveals God's destiny for me. Whew! God's design in me reveals God's destiny for me. And if you find yourself dissatisfied with your life because of where you find yourself, don't allow your dissatisfaction in where you stand to negate the fact that you still have a purpose. And that 2021 just could be the year in which you discover that purpose and start living in it and start experiencing life and life to the full and start experiencing a rich and satisfying life that Christ paid for and came to give us. And it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, how young or how old you might be. If you're sitting there and you're 15, 16, 17 years old, don't buy into the myth that discovering your purpose is something that 30 and 40 year olds do. Because every 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old in the room would look you back in the face and say, you have a golden opportunity in front of you. You have an opportunity to live the next 70 years of your life chasing your purpose. I wish I could go back and do that. Am I right? All of y'all who are just a little bit older than 15, 16, 17, wouldn't you say that? For those of you who are 50 or 60 in the room, don't buy into the myth that purpose is something to be discovered by 30 or 40-year-olds. It's never too late. You're not too late to the party. God still has a purpose that he wants you to discover and begin walking in now and make what you have left the very best that it can be. But the question is this. It's a real question that we should ask. How do I know, Ben? How do I know what my purpose is? And let's just go to the other side of the coin. The question we can't ask, unfortunately, is this. Ben, what is my purpose? I can't tell you that. That's between you and God. He created you with a unique purpose, and your purpose is not like mine. But you have one. And there is, good news, a way for us to discover it right here, right now, in our lives at the outset of 2021. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work looking back to our past, intentionally looking at our present, and then being intentional about looking for some of these things in our future. And so in order for us to discover our purpose, we recognize that there are four ways that God reveals that purpose in every single one of us. The first is this, that God reveals his purpose for us at birth. That every single one of us have a call, a purpose, as those passages we just read in Psalm 139, a purpose that was formed with us in our mother's womb. And I love this passage in Jeremiah chapter 1. It's very similar to what the psalmist writes. This young man named Jeremiah, he's a Jewish man, and he's sent to his people to deliver a message of the wrong direction that they are going in. And as this purpose is revealed for Jeremiah in his future, Jeremiah's like, whoa, 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 I'm not so sure I want that purpose or like that purpose. I'm not so sure I'm equipped to walk in that. And God comes back to Jeremiah, and he's like, Jeremiah, no, you don't understand. I created you for this. I see something inside of you that you have yet to see in yourself. I put something in you in your mother's womb that makes you qualified for this. And if you're still afraid, guess what? I'll go with you. I'll help you out on this one. Check this out. This is so incredible. In verse 5, he says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Man, that's truth that every single one of us can latch on to. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you to a mission only you can have. And then Jeremiah responds, oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people. For I will be with you, and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Many years ago, keeps getting further and further into the many years ago, I still remember the moment of my life in which I began to discover that my purpose was very different from what I thought it was at a young age. Very early in my life, I thought that I was just going to go into the medical field and I'd make lots of money and I was good at math and I was good at science and that just seemed natural and it seemed like the best path towards the best possible life for me and my future family. As I approached the later years of my high school days, I began to discover that God had a completely different purpose for me, one that didn't exactly make sense. One that he was calling me into in full-time ministry. And I've shared parts of this story with you all before, but I can still remember sitting down at the kitchen table with my parents and sharing with them sort of this change in purpose in my life. And in that moment, just how upset my father was and sort of this like mini falling out moment, this mini fight that happened around the kitchen table. And later that night, I can remember sitting in my room by myself, being absolutely crushed, and my mother walking into my bedroom and sitting on my bed and saying, Ben, have I ever told you the story of when we found out that we were pregnant with you? And she started in on this story. And here she was, a 38-year-old woman, pregnant with another little one, full of questions, Like, why now? And how are we supposed to get through this? How am I supposed to survive having a teenager in my mid-50s? And what does this look like? I'm bombarded by the voices around her, some of which coming from one of my brothers saying, man, only crazy people have 4 kids. And she said, in that moment, as I had all of these questions running through me, it was the one moment in my life in which I felt God's voice clearest. He said to me, Anne, I know you don't understand this right now, but this baby is being born for a reason. There's a purpose. My mother, on that night, looking at me on that bed in tears and saying, Ben, I believe with all of my heart, even though it doesn't completely make sense, that this is God beginning to reveal what he spoke into my life 17 years ago. That there's a purpose that doesn't make sense, but that sets you apart from the rest of us. That sets you apart from what we thought you were going to do and the path you were going to be on. As I took that with me in my first couple years of college, my 2 most hated classes in college, the college experience and communication 101. You know what those 2 classes were solely predicated on? Class participation and speeches in front of the class. I started out in ministry and I was absolutely petrified anytime I had to speak in front of people. 13 years later, voila. This is what God chose for me to do every single week of my life. See, some of us, there's been something planted in us. And for so long, we've been pushing it to the back burners of our life. We've been pushing it off. There have been moments where the bills and the kids and the voices have bombarded us and made us to believe that it's just not worth pursuing that yet. That that's not the definition of success in this world, and you'll never find the success you want if you chase that. And maybe this is the moment where you put all of those voices aside and you start to recognize what was placed in you at birth. And you start to chase something that you've put off for far too long because that is your purpose and your purpose alone. That for you, there's a purpose that has always been there. A purpose just waiting to break loose. But it requires you to have the courage to see that purpose, to see your differences, and to embrace them. But not only do we rely on this thing that's been put in us from birth, but we also can look at our past and we can rely on our life's experiences to begin to reveal the purpose in our lives. You see, much like Joseph, Joseph has such an incredible story. Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and he was deemed to be, as most older brothers do, he was deemed to be his father's favorite. And because of that, all the rest of the older brothers hated him. And they decided to sell him into slavery. And he became a slave to the Egyptians. And David's entire upbringing of his life was about 1 step forward and 2 steps backwards. Every time he seemed to make progress, he hit another roadblock and he was thrown in jail. He was accused of rape. All of these different things kept happening to Joseph along the way until one day he continued to follow God's calling and God's purpose for his life. And there was a moment where he was elevated to 2nd in command in all of Egypt. And he looked back on his life and all of those hardships and all of those heartaches and his life experiences, and this is the conclusion he came to. You, he was speaking to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. And I know for some of us, we look back at our past and we have stories that are similar to Joseph's. Maybe not the slavery or in trouble with the law because of accusations, but we have hurt and we have hardship and we have heartache. Moments that are filled with questions of why me? Why now? Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to lose them at this point? Why did this have to break? Why did this have to fall apart? And it's like in our lives, we fail to recognize this truth that Joseph recognized. That this world and the people around us, they may have intended it for bad, but God is working in every single one of those heartaches and hardships, and he's cultivating those things to make you even better at living out your purpose. To change this world in even greater ways because of the heartache and the hardship and the troubles that you have walked through and you have endured in your life. It was not an accident. Those hardships reveal something in you and cultivate something in you. For some of us, we've experienced things in our past. We've done things that have stirred something inside of us. But then we come back to reality and we come back to real life from that service experience or that trip. And the realities of real life press in, and we just think it's best to ignore what stirred inside of us because of that. And so we put it on the back burner and we put it off. We ignored it. And we just deem, I felt that and I ignored it and it makes me feel kind of crappy. And so I'm going to stop doing daring, uncomfortable things from this point forward. And we neglect what God is trying to cultivate and call us to in our lives, these experiences that he wants us to have that help him reveal to us what our purpose is and where we were called to make a difference in this world. See, we must hone in to those experiences in our lives if we want to discover God's purpose for us. And then third, not only do we have a calling from birth and life experiences, but we also reveal or see our purpose by taking faith steps into unknown outcomes. By taking faith steps into unknown outcomes. It's this reality that discovering your purpose will always require an element of risk. Why? Why does it have to be that way? I don't know a great answer to that other than I know the proof's in the pudding. Oftentimes when we look back at our lives, the moment of uncomfortableness, the moments of risk, aren't those the very moments of our lives in which we hear God's voice clearest? Aren't those the very moments of our life in which we're uncomfortable and we're in the middle of risk and we don't know what the outcome is going to be or if this is going to turn out good or bad? Aren't those the moments of our life in which we lean in most and we're like, God, man, I need you to show up. I need you to do something here. And we are most in tune to the hand of God moving. But if we just ignore those faith steps into the unknown, we ignore this part of our life, this purpose that God has created us for. There's this incredible story in the Old Testament of a young woman named Esther. Esther was a Jewish woman, but the Jews had been taken into captivity. They had been taken as prisoners to another country, but Esther had found favor in the eyes of the king of that country, and he had taken her as his queen. And Esther stood back as a plot began to unfold, and the highest-ranking officer and her husband, the king's trusted cabinet. And his plan was to completely eradicate the Jews. They're not like us. They don't worship the gods like we do. They are going to cause nothing but trouble, and you should just get rid of them. And as Esther hears this unfolding, she's shaking in her boots. Because if I approach the king and say something I'm not supposed to, it doesn't matter if I'm the queen or not, it could be off with my head too. I don't know that I want to take faith steps into an unknown outcome. And one of Esther's most trusted friends comes to her and speaks this truth into her life. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. God will do what he's going to do, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? And then Esther responds like this. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. You see, God wants to reveal elements of your purpose. But oftentimes he does it best in the most uncomfortable moments of our lives. He affirms our purpose when we're out on a ledge, solely relying on him. And let's just be clear about something. Faith steps aren't about being reckless. Faith steps aren't about hope and a possible outcome. Faith steps are this. Faith steps are about moving forward based upon what God says, not what I see. That is what it looks to move forward in our lives towards our purpose. That we are reliant on what God says, not on what I see or what everybody else is telling me I should see. And when we do that, we begin to discover what God has for us and why he made us. And then lastly, the way in which he reveals our purpose is through only God moments. It's through moments of our lives, much like Paul encountered as he was chasing a different mission and a different purpose, a counterfeit purpose with his life. And he was going to all of the Roman government officials and saying, hey, can I get letters here so that we can persecute any followers of the way, this guy named Jesus, to its fullest extent? And if they don't deny their faith, then we can just kill them. And he's on this road to Damascus, and in an instant, he encounters God in this incredible way, and it changes his life and changes his mission. And from that, he experiences God in this incredible way that can only be described as an only God moment. But there's no denying God showed up in this instant. There's no denying God's voice. It's in the moments of miracles of our lives, even the small miracles, the moments of win in the face of impossibilities, the moments that you couldn't deny that he was there and he was present and he was speaking to you in that. And I know these moments are rare, but sometimes they become even more rare. Come back to me for just a second. We're almost there. Sometimes these moments become even more rare because in our lives, we fail to put ourselves in position in which God must show up or everything will fail. We keep playing it safe and comfortable. And God's saying, what's my role in that? And God's saying, I have a purpose that will become a little bit more clear in your life if you take steps into areas in which it requires me to show up on your behalf. Those are the moments that God relishes. Those are the moments where God shows up and shows off in our lives, in our purpose, and begins to do something incredible. You see, what I want you to hear is this. You were made for more. No matter who you are, where you are in life, or what your past has looked like, I believe with all of my heart that God created you on purpose for a purpose. That God created me on purpose for a purpose. And maybe the first 35 minutes of all of this is like, Ben, that's great for the future. Maybe that's something I can plug in years down the road. But the one thing you needed to hear this morning was simply that truth. Because as you look at your life and the past of your life and the mistakes that you've walked through and the junk choices that you have made, what you've begun to determine is that if this is how my past looks, then my future is deemed to look the same. And there's no hope. There's no purpose in that. For some of us, we've been looked in the eye by an ex-spouse or an ex-friend or an ex-boss, and we've been communicated that you will never amount to anything on your own. You are worthless and you don't have value or a purpose in this life. For some of us, we find ourselves in a mental state in which we're battling hurt and depression and we feel lost and hopeless. And every morning when we wake up and we look in the mirror, we are so doggone upset with what we see looking back at us that there is no possible way we could believe there is any purpose left to this life. And what you need to hear this morning is simply this, that God is speaking into your life and your heart, I am not done with you yet. I made you on purpose for a purpose. I made you on purpose for a purpose. Let that wash over you. I made you on purpose for a purpose. And the year for you to discover that is 2021. This is your moment. This is your year. You're not too late to the party. I'm still calling you to that. I still want you to experience that. But in order for you to experience it, you first must recognize that you have it. You have a purpose. You are unlike anybody else. And experiencing your best life comes on the heels of asking the question, what's next? God, what do you have for me? God, what is my purpose? And when he reveals it through our calling at birth, our life experiences, our faith steps into unknown outcomes, and those rare only God moments, we make the courageous choice to start walking towards it. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you that you are a God who sees purpose in us, regardless of what our past says, regardless of what our present says, that you created us on purpose for a purpose. God, I know from my life, there have been far too many Januaries. I've lost sight of that, and I've went in a different direction. And my new year has looked just like the last year. God, this year I pray for courage. Courage to make this year unlike any other. Courage to ask the question, what's next? And then to start walking towards it. Courage to recognize that you have given me a purpose that isn't anybody else's. When I start walking towards that purpose, I start to live the rich and satisfying life that you came to give me. I thank you for that. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.